A few weeks ago, I was searching for a verse that would be a good reminder to me as I was praying about something that I was really hoping for. I wanted a verse I could memorize and hang on to and call to mind over the coming weeks, something that I was really hoping for. I was trying to balance my bold faith that God can do absolutely anything, but I still wanted to protect myself a bit from disappointment if the situation didn't play out like I hoped. Have you all ever found yourself in that place, praying boldly about what you're hoping for, but leaving room for a negative outcome so the letdown won't be so hard? The verse that God brought to my mind was Romans 15:13 that says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, and may you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." What was so funny after I decided that was the verse I was going to cling to and I memorized it, well, I started hearing it or seeing it everywhere I went. It seemed like every day I would hear that verse. It came from a friend that I was talking with, and she shared that verse with me. It came on a post on Facebook, a Facebook post, and I just thought, what is going on? I heard it during worship last Monday when my daughter-in-law Carly was leading worship, and she mentioned that very verse in her worship time before we had Bible study. I saw it on a calendar that I had in our home, and I'd looked at the calendar many times during the month of April, but I had never really paid attention to that verse that was on that card. It was there. It was like God was really trying to get my attention. So through all the reminders of that verse, I recognized that God was teaching me something significant through this scripture about hope. This hope does not lead us to a situational outcome. In fact, the only outcome this verse mentions is joy and peace and more hope. It's an attitude. It's a perspective. It's a way of life. So I wanted to dig a little deeper into that verse and see what it really meant. So may the God of hope, that means that God is the author. He's the source of hope. It's his character. It's who he is. Hope is not in our circumstances. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Joy and peace are what God longs to give us from his hope. So what do we need to do to have this joy and peace? We have to trust. We have to believe. We have to surrender to him. That's our part of the equation. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And may you overflow with hope. I always thought that part of that verse was so interesting because it says we don't just get joy and peace and a little bit of hope. It says we get an abundance of hope. It's a confident hope that can influence others. It stands out. It's noticed by others because it's different. It's hope that's not in any kind of our circumstances. It's not changed by things that happen in our lives that can be really, really difficult. Our hope is sure. It's in God. And it's given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a hope generated by our own effort, but it's through the Holy Spirit. And that's why it can be so consistently there in our lives. So this scripture tells us that we can have joy, peace, and hope, no matter if we've had disappointment or if we're waiting in hope for something. It's about who God is and not our circumstances. Clearly, God wants us to be people of hope. So how does this hope play out today in our everyday lives? How do we remain hope-filled when our world is so chaotic? And how do we wait for what we hope for?
As we were working on this, the thought came to our mind, or Kim reminded me of the message I gave the week after Easter, and it was about the Emmaus Road, the two gentlemen that had been in Jerusalem with the events unfolding during the crucifixion. And it's an interesting story. Jesus is walking along with these two. They don't recognize him. They're on their way back to their hometown of Emmaus. They didn't realize it was Jesus with them. Reminds me of a song that I've always loved, There Was Jesus. It's a great song. Dolly Parton was part of it. Zach Williams, they recorded it together. And so there was Jesus. These two guys didn't know it yet. He was with them, but he had not revealed himself. So as they're discussing everything that had taken place and even somewhat arguing about it, Jesus asked them what they were talking about. And one of the disciples, one of those gentlemen said, here's a paraphrase version. Seriously, where have you been? You must be the only person who doesn't know the things that we've been seeing, the things that have been happening. And Jesus, of course, disguised, still said, well, what things? And the disciples went on to answer him, still not recognizing him as Jesus, the one they were so downcast and heartbroken over. They said this phrase, and this is what grabbed me that week to go to the text. And it still is a powerful statement, in my opinion, when they say, we had hoped. Mm-hmm. We had hoped. They had in their minds what Jesus should have done or was going to do. That's what they were hoping for. And to hear that phrase, it sounds so lonely. We had hoped. And how many times have we said the same thing?
Yeah, it's such a telling phrase, we had hoped. I think we can all relate to feeling that same way at times. Is there something that turned out a different way than you had hoped? Was there something you had hoped about a relationship? Was there something you had hoped about a business deal? Was there something that you had hoped about a medical report? Was there something that you had hoped about a new opportunity? Or is there something right now that you're waiting for? How the disciples felt in this scripture is as relevant today as it was back then. How many times have we had high hopes and expectations about something only to have it all not work out? We've all had our own versions of a we had hoped journey, haven't we? Let me encourage you today to take your I had hoped, whatever it is that you're hoping for or that you've had, that you have hoped for, take it to Jesus today. A devotional I read that refers to this story, the author says, a key to getting through any disappointment in life, to enduring in our faith, is being able to acknowledge the presence of God with us in the midst of our disappointment, in our hurt, in our betrayal, in our disillusionment, right there in that place. So whether you realize it or not, just like with the disciples, Jesus is walking right alongside you wherever you are, in dark times and joyful times, in disappointments and successes. He is right there with you.
We discussed four ways that we cultivate hope. And I think of all the things I can think of as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, at least I would hope, at least you know that there's always hope. We live with hope. And the four ways we feel the scripture addresses that is through worship, through community, through studying the Bible, and through prayer. Those four things. We want to talk about those for a little bit.
Yeah. So the first one, cultivating hope through worship. So worship is a way that we shift our focus from ourselves, our issues, and our limitations, and we focus on God's character, his goodness, and his unlimited power. Psalm 103, 1 through 5 says, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And then Psalm 42:11 says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. These verses just remind us that sometimes we have to talk ourselves into a different perspective. And like David did in many of the Psalms that he wrote, he kind of had to talk to his own soul and talk himself out of maybe the dark time he was in. We have to talk truth to our souls like David did. Worship reminds the soul who God is when circumstances try to make us forget. And that's what we do on Sunday mornings with worship, with music. But we can do that in lots of ways. It doesn't have to just be music. But I think for Marty and I both, music is one of the main ways that we do, that for us, that we really worship God. And It's just brought a lot of joy to our life. Sometimes you can just turn on a song and all of a sudden your perspective changes. And so music is a way that I've really loved to worship alone and with other people.
I'm music too. I have to do a really gut check occasionally to make sure I'm reading my Bible as much as I'm listening to great biblical music. Music has always been the something that I was just born with this desire for music and worship. I love music. I like all kinds of music, and I like to play it loud in my car. Typically, when I get a car, I get a music system first. That's the first question I ask. What kind of music system is in this thing? And if it's a good one, okay, I think that'll work for me. But I just love music, and I love music in our corporate settings and our church settings. We have great music in this church. God has been kind to us. We just have great music, great leaders, great people who share their talents. And we're so fortunate, mm-hmm. so fortunate. And I love it. I love the music, and nothing like a great new song. Occasionally I'll get some new songs sent to me, and I have to pull the car over sometimes. You know, I'm getting so moved by it. And going back to the song, There Was Jesus, that Dolly Parton, Zach Williams, I'd have to sit here just for a moment and think what we had for dinner last night. I could get there. I think it was chicken. But I will never forget where I was the day I first heard the song, There Was Jesus. I know exactly where I pulled off the road in Colorado and sat there and had to just get myself emotionally back where I could see the road again. Because there was Jesus. That just did it for me. And there's all kinds. We both have a variety of ways. Kim is a very wonderful student of the Bible. And every morning she's up before God's even up, I think, because she's in the living room. You know, she's certainly up before I am. But we just found different ways. You like the mountains.
Yeah.
I like the beach.
Yeah, nature's another great way that to worship God, and just to get outside, it can shift your perspective so quickly. We've kind of gotten into watching our birds in our backyard, and I think that just means that we're
sure
old.
We should admit that.
But it's fascinating to.
We're watching birds now.
You can figure out what kind you have, and. But even that has just been such a great reminder of God's creation and just how magnificent it is. And God made these birds and he loves them and cares for them, and how much more does he love and care for us. And so nature is a way that I think, I know that I have really found that it tunes my hope up for sure. And just getting out in nature and worshiping God. Another way is to worship is service and acts of love. Bob Goff had a saying quite a while back, but I still hold on to it because it's so simple. It said, love God, love people, and do stuff. And it's just what it says. But I think that's a great way we can worship God is just by doing acts of love, acts of kindness for other people, whether it's volunteering in your community, volunteering at church, taking a meal to someone, just showing someone you care and love them, that is actually an act of worship to God. And Hebrews 13:16 says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So I think that's such a good reminder that worship can come in all forms.
Yeah, we caught ourselves standing at the kitchen window looking at birds. And I kind of said, what has happened to us? And now we have two bird feeders, one on each side, I think. Mm-hmm. Two bird feeders where we can watch birds. There's really something wrong here. Pray for us. So we have hope through worship. And then we have hope through community. I think this is something we tend to neglect. Hebrews 10, 24, 25 really, to me, says it very clearly to all of us. And I think it's especially said to people who follow Jesus. It says, let us consider how to stir one another up with love and good works. not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day, meaning the day of Christ, drawing near. I think we underestimate the power of community. I think I've been in church, we've been in church all of our lives. We've been very fortunate. All of our lives, we've had nothing but wonderful experiences in church. This has been Kim's church from the day she was born. And I grew up in Tennessee and then Ohio, and then have been out here, of course, now for all these years. But it's just pretty special when you can worship, and you can worship with people that you know and people that you love. Now, the church has gotten large. We don't know everybody. We don't know each other, but we know plenty of people. And I think the power of community, the power of us being together, and I think we underestimate that. There's some days, you know, we all wake up some Sundays and say, I'm not sure I'm going to go today. And then, of course, Kim will tell me, well, you've got to speak, so get up. But there are days we wake up and we think, I think I will stay home. And it's okay. I want to put you on a guilt trip. If, you know, you can watch online now. So really, that's great. But there's still something different if you're in town to be in one of the rooms. I think there's still something special that happens when we're together. But we can be together. We can see things differently. We can walk through life together in community. Mm-hmm. And this is where a lot of Sundays you may feel like you're coming to church because you need to or because you're supposed to, hopefully not because you have to, but there's something to be said to walk in not needing anything, and maybe God sends you in one of our rooms because you're going to be there for somebody who might need you, who might turn around and ask you to pray for them. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so being around other believers, a community of faith, friends, it really does increase your hope a lot. I think we all can relate to that when maybe we've been home or been on our own for a little while and you may be feeling down, but once you get with a friend or you come to church, you make the effort, then there's just something that happens, and you're all of a sudden filled with some hope. Romans 1:12 says, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I think that's what God has called us to do, is to encourage each other in our faith. And we have two friends that both lost spouses in the last couple of years. And I know Marty and I have been so encouraged watching them just continue to seek out community, to continue to come to church when there's a lot of days I know that's really maybe the last thing they want to do or feel like doing, but they put the effort in and then they get around, you know, their friends, other believers, other people. And it's been a really important key of their grief process back to finding hope again and some joy. And so I've admired that so much. They've encouraged us, and I think it's encouraged them to get out and do things with people and not to quit. They haven't quit coming together as a church. Another group I think is interesting, and we've just heard little bits of this story, and we want to find out more about it, but in the venue at 11, there's a group that they just started randomly sitting by each other. There was no plan to that. But just after, I don't know, several months, maybe even a year or so, that this people kind of tend to sit in the same places. So this group just sat in their same spot. Well, they have built a community within the venue, and now they're like a small group. They go to lunch, they do all kinds of stuff together. They're in each other's lives, and I think that is such a beautiful picture of community and the hope that we can find in community. So I would just encourage you to, you know, find ways maybe that you can build your own community, and definitely just don't ignore your need to be around people, to be around other believers. It's really important. We also, another way to cultivate hope is just reading the Bible and just being in the Word. Romans 15:4 says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. I just love that verse. I think that's so powerful. that the scriptures want to give us encouragement and hope. Studying the Bible, you can do that on your own, but you can also do that in community, and Bible study is a great way to do that. We have a lot here at Crossings. I know there's a lot in the community, too, that are really good for both men and for women, and I'm so happy that our church can offer so many choices, and I've been involved in the Monday morning Bible studies the last year. I was in it for a long time, and then because of work and different schedule things, I wasn't in it, but I've been back, and I'm telling you, it's amazing. And our teachers are amazing. The material's original. It's incredible. And I've just learned so much this year by being involved in that. So I know we do Monday morning, Monday afternoon, and Wednesday night also. So lots of choices for men too. But I would just encourage everybody to get in a Bible study. There's nothing like being in a study, reading the Word, understanding the Word, and there's so much hope that comes from that. There's lots of reading plans on your phones even. I follow the Bible Recap, which is like a daily reading program. I know Lance Ward has a reading program on our website here at Crossings. So there's so many ways to dig into the Word and to find some hope that way. Another thing I like to do, like I did for this message, was just praying about a scripture. God has always been so faithful to bring a scripture that just pertains to what I'm going through at a specific time. And so I would encourage you, if you're going through a specific challenge or you need some encouragement, ask God to show you what scripture you can memorize and hang on to. And I guarantee He will do it. It's amazing.
She wrote something in her notes that I'm going to say. She said, let God surprise you. Mm. Let God surprise you by how personal He is, how powerful He is. There's times He's trying to get our attention. And be careful. Make sure you're in tune when you know God's trying to get your attention. Mm-hmm. Well, we find hope in a lot of different places, and the scriptures and music, studying the Bible and those things. And then there's through prayer as well.
Yeah, Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. All these things, the hope and the patience and the faithful in prayer, these tie together. It ties together how consistent prayer provides the strength that we need to maintain hope. And prayer is the engine that sustains hope. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you when you seek me with all of your heart. God invites our honest and real prayers, and God wants to change us through prayer, and God honors our persistence in prayer.
I think we can't miss this thought or this moment, because it's God who does the inviting. Some of you, I know maybe you're not really, maybe you don't feel like you can be close to God. Some of you are just searching. One thing I love about our church is there's a lot of people that come to our church trying to see what this is all about, giving God a chance. And I'm thankful for a patient congregation that allows us to communicate from our stages to everyone. I think it's very important we remember that. But God invites us. He wants us. He's eager to be with us. God honors what we do in His name. I have no doubt about any of that. Mm-hmm. So we have our hope through worship, community, Bible study, and prayer.
One more thing about prayer is just to keep in mind that God is doing more than we can see through our prayers. And maybe you feel like you're beating your head against a wall or going in circles as you pray. But He's at work, even on the days that seems like nothing's happening. Don't quit. Sometimes hope begins with simply choosing to pray just one more time. I want to take a minute and tell you about a dear friend of mine who has cultivated a life of hope, and that has gotten her through a very challenging season. She's still in the process of going through it, but she's gotten through the initial part of that.
I was kind of yesterday sitting at the kitchen counter when she was talking to her friend again and some of these things, and I thought, that was just a powerful moment for me to see, knowing where this friend of hers has been. Mm-hmm. And to hear the two talking about things, and Kim wanted to run this by her, so you can tell the story.
Yeah. So her world was just turned upside down as her marriage suddenly ended, and she was left picking up the pieces with a broken heart, more questions than answers, and young children to raise. Because she had cultivated a life of hope and faith for many years, this challenging time did not destroy her or her family. She had built a firm foundation. She had studied God's word for a long time. She'd even taught it to others. She had developed a discipline of prayer. She had poured into her community, and she understood the importance that worship had in her life. But for one of the very first times in her life, she had to ask herself, is what I say I believe about God really true? I had to ask God, are you good? Do you keep your promises? Are you really faithful? Her hope and really her survival have come from a daily, moment-to-moment dependence on God. The intimacy that she has had with God through this situation has been such a gift. She wouldn't have chosen this path, but she also wouldn't trade anything for the relationship she has with Jesus now because of the path she's been on. She committed to put her hope in God, in his goodness, his faithfulness, and his love, and not her circumstances. I asked her recently, how have you found hope during this time? And she said, by waking up every day in a posture and an attitude of surrender, acknowledging that I don't have it all together, but God knows what I need, and he knows what my kids need. He will walk with me and guide me through every moment of each day. She continued, my prayers have never been more raw and honest than they've been the last couple of years, and I've never been more aware of God's provision in my life. I've had friends and family taking care of needs I didn't know I even had, like mowing my lawn, dropping off gift cards to restaurants, providing rides for my kids' activities, and the list goes on and on. Our needs have been met in abundant ways. She also added, another important choice I have made is to decide what kind of tone I would set for our family going forward. I decided to choose kindness, even when it came to conversations about or with my kid's dad. I want my children to see in me a Christ-like example. My kids have had to know that they are my priority. Just showing up for them, having fun with them, and doing the next right thing goes a long, long way. As my friend and I were finishing up our conversation, she said, when my fears and insecurities creep in about being a single mom, I ask myself, do I trust God to be the author of my kids' stories? Do I trust that God is a better writer than me for their stories? These questions always bring me back to the perspective that I need in order for me to live in hope. God created my kids. He loves my kids more than I even can. And God can be trusted. My friend has found God to be faithful and trustworthy and good through this very difficult time. She is finding hope again by surrendering her plans and dreams to God, by trusting his goodness, and by shifting her focus from her circumstances to God's power.
You know, we love, in this church, we've always valued, even when we were a really small church, being able to tell our stories to each other, being transparent, being a church where we could be ourselves. You don't have to walk into the church, into the rooms, and pretend like everything's fine. I mean, if we have to pretend for a while, maybe that's okay, but I wouldn't pretend for long. If there's a place that should be able to be the most important factor in your life in a dark time, it ought to be the church. And I believe that God has given us that. We hear of stories all the time by people who've been blindsided by life and whose pain is more than we can fathom. And yet, in the most difficult times of life, for all of us, God always sends us hope before we know we need it. He always sends hope, even when we haven't asked yet. And certainly when we do ask, he will send it. He's good at keeping his word. He sees what's going on. He knows where it's headed. And sometimes I've learned, because I'm a fixer, so when someone around me or close to me or a friend is hurting, I'm wondering, what can I do to fix this? Yeah, an act of kindness, or what can I do? Tell it, you know, whatever. And sometimes I've got, thankfully, a little age and maturity have helped me realize there are times that the best thing you might be able to do in these moments with a friend is just be there or check in every day or so. But I believe it's important for all of us. We have to, if you decide anything today, before you walk out of here, hope you decide to choose hope. Choose hope. God is the source of hope. Hebrews 6:19, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. An anchor. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary where he invites us to freely come.
So if you're here today and you're in a place of disappointment or you're desperately waiting in hope for God to answer your prayer, I want to encourage you with this quote from Christine Kane. She says, keep moving through knowing he is with you. Keep moving through trusting that he's doing something in you. Keep moving through continuing to live a life of purpose and passion, never losing sight of what God has created you and called you to do.
Romans 5:3-4. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And sometimes I don't like endurance. But we know his plan is to help us develop endurance. And guess what? Endurance develops strength of character. And our character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And the scripture goes on and says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. If you came in here feeling a little down or feeling hopeless in some way, and maybe you're in a season where it seems hope is just hard to find, I hope you know that God sees it. He understands it. He knows it. He knows why. And if we could say anything to you today, we would want to give you a dose of hope and encourage you to let God be God in your life. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us develop endurance. And endurance will develop strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope does not lead to disappointment. Be careful what you're hoping for and where you place your hope. I'm going to close this in prayer, and after I do, the prayer teams will be across the front of all the rooms. You feel free to come to the front of the rooms with our pastors and prayer teams available, and as the rest of the congregation might be heading out to their cars or leaving the building, but we will be available at the front of all the rooms to pray with you about whatever may be on your mind, whether it has anything to do with anything we've said or this particular day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the freedom we have had to come into the house of the Lord. And Father, we thank you that we never leave this place. We never leave our church hopeless. You always give us a glimmer of hope. And for some, we've been waiting a long time, and maybe you give us a really big dose of hope. And I pray that those who don't sense the hopefulness that you bring, they would find that person, that they would reach out to you, Lord. They would call on your name and find hope. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Have a great day.